Warning! This program contains strong adult language, violence, and brief nudity. It's everything you're looking for. Live from the Sims Tower in the Robinson Auto Group studio, we are AM 1600 WKKX.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 6:09 p.m. I never checked the degrees, but it's nice outside. 58 degrees here in downtown Wheeling, but it's nice out. Right? Anybody?
Very nice
okay.
out.
It's not cold. It's good. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, call us toll-free, 1-866-514-1600. Oh, I'm Jordan Klein. She's Lola Miller with us. Miss Sarah Howard.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Our guest tonight, we've been doing ghosty shows all month because it was October. So we figured we'd do some UFO action today. I think we're getting him on the line now. All right, our guest is Michael Elejon. He is the author of Prepare for the Landings. Are you ready? Michael, you with us? Michael?
Yes.
Hey, how are you doing?
Real good.
Good. Tell us about your book, Prepare for the Landings. Are you ready?
Well, and I also invite people to go to prepareforthelandings.com, which is a good overview of the book. This book is something I actually knew from the time I was born, when I was very young, that I was going to actually write and publish this book with this title, Prepare for the Landing, because I knew that my mission, as I often refer to it, was specifically to help prepare Earth's humanity for a time when there would be open contact with more advanced, higher extraterrestrial forces of light, and that we are actually part of a community of worlds. And so I've had, as I share in the book, two physical contacts of being taken on board and under life-threatening situations where these beings interviewed, saved my life, helped me out of a situation. And I was also told that these personal experiences of intervention was a preparation for mass planetary divine intervention in the future when they would come down openly at a certain point.
Now, you're saying that they came to you and helped you through things?
Definitely. I hear in the book about the first time when I was 6 years age in 1959, where I fell off a pier in Oceanside, California, into the ocean. In a very traumatic moment, I'm falling into the ocean. They physically took me, physically beam me aboard the craft, what I call the Merkaba Federation lightship, and interact with very beautiful human-appearing beings dressed in silver blue metallic suits, who I actually remember saying goodbye to before I beamed into my mother's womb, being born in the normal way. But these were friends of what I call the extended cosmic family that would be intervening in the future on a mass level.
So are you saying that you were aboard the spaceship before you were conceived?
Or? I remember being aboard the craft, hanging out with these beings, and what I call the Federation of Light, Galactic Federation, and choosing my Earth parents. I very clearly remember choosing them because of their metaphysical and holistic backgrounds. I could fulfill my mission.
Now, and what is your mission?
Well, part of it was, as the book talks about, to prepare humanity, and also to be a channel for higher beings. When I do these 90-minute in-depth transformational channeling sessions where they speak through me, and they also download these higher, what I call higher light encodements, part of the Elohim technology that activates the DNA, RNA, and helps you plug into your mission. You go to my other website, channelforthemasters.com, you'll see how I was trained in the Edgar Cayce method of channeling by my Earth father originally, and then I transformed into doing this other more transformational kind of channeling.
Okay, so are you saying that you are actually extraterrestrial, and that
it's about, in my theory, about almost 30% of the world's population are actually extraterrestrial souls in human embodiment here to uplift the planet. If you go to channelforthemasters.com, you will see a list called the NASA Star People Characteristic List, and I was actually told about this in 1979 aboard the craft.
So they know about the website.
Well, I created the website later
on. But they knew about NASA's list then.
Well, yeah, I mean, they guided me to find the list based on research that Bryce Steiger had originally working with NASA engineers and scientists, and when I saw the list for the first time 2 months after being on board the craft, and I saw it, and I almost everyone on the list because I had retained physiologically more of the energy.
Oh. Yeah. Now, what are some of the characteristics? I can't look at the moment. No. My the website's never come up
with,
for me.
Okay, well, let me explain a little bit. Depending on how much energy you've been able to retain down here would also depend which of the characteristics you have. It varies. Some people have a lot of them in common. Others have not so many.
Yeah.
Like lower than normal body temperature, lower than normal blood pressure, unusual blood types. Like, for example, I have AB negative blood, which is the rarest on the planet. Abilities, specialized abilities in certain areas, such as having had a close... Most common characteristics is having an experience where you almost died and something intervened and saved your life. That's quite common. Sensitivity to electricity, electromagnetic force field, having been feeling drawn to certain times of human history. These are just a few out of about 30 characteristics.
Wow. Now, your abilities, are they just... I know you talked about your channeling.
Yeah.
What other types of abilities do you have?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of us, for myself, it can be a little bit of a jack of all trades. I mean, I'm an author. I'll publish this book. I've been, I'm always a very creative person, but primarily, I've been very dedicated. My main focus has been on my work of doing lectures and workshops where I teach people how to channel also. I have some DVDs available on the prepareforthelanding.com website that teaches people to channel, and one that was called The Dynamics of Cosmic Telepathy, which is based on a book that another channel had written many years ago. And there's a DVD called Who's Who in the Cosmic Directory, which is a PowerPoint presentation on the Masters that I'm also open being sponsored. I've done a lot of events in people's homes at
book, oh, wow,
New Age centers.
That's pretty impressive. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Sometimes the radio or the phone will zap you out, so we just,
okay,
you got quiet. All right. Well, tell us about your research for the book.
Well, the research is based upon not only my personal experience, but then interacting with a lot of other researchers and channels and contactees like myself, who have had contacts through the years with some of the same beings I'm in communication with, various other beings that are members of the Federation of Light. They actually have commands and fleets that actually surround this planet right now in what I call guardian action, where they have been guiding and actually helping humanity to counteract the what I call the cabal, the corporate, the 1% of humanity has been trying to manipulate the other 99%,
uh-huh,
the power elite, the Illuminati, whatever we want to call them.
Yeah.
One of the most impressive things that they did was about 2 months ago at the end of August, what was erroneously reported as mere earthquakes in Virginia, near Washington, D.C., and in Danvers, near,
uh-huh,
the Denver airport, was actually the underground cabal bases, the deep underground military bases, which is a pseudonym for dumb, being taken out by the Federation used some sonic weapons, and that took out, and they've been actually eliminating all these bases in the last couple months. There's only a few left, as far as I know. And so this is where the power elite planned to flee to survive supposedly with the Earth changes they thought was going to be destructive. Well, that's not what happened. They basically were warned that they were going to be taken out, that they had better turn to the light. And, of course, for decades, the higher forces have been warning them, and they just ignored it. And so now, one of the bases, by the way, in Virginia, contains some mind control technology that was interfacing with a system called HARP.
Uh-huh.
And when it took out those devices, it ended a lot of the, negative control. Suddenly people started waking up, and that was part of the reasons that the Occupy movement has sprang up all over the world. People are coming out of kind of a psychic coma of control, and people are demanding accountability and a lot of other things. So I'm very excited about these changes going on for the better and challenging the officials who thought they would never have to face accountability for their actions.
Really?
Yes, really.
That's a lot to take in. I mean... Not that you're like anything's bad, but you're talking like fast, so it's like as soon as my brain like sucks it in, you're like on something else, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, it's a lot happening right now. I think right now is a very exciting time from October 28th, which in those who study the Mayan calendar know that it's the end of the ninth wave, where they call it God becoming complete. In other words, there was a new energy that just came into the universe. And that the Elohim beings that I'm in communication with, and so are a lot of other people, but I'm picking up, that there's an energy that has come into the universe that has never existed in the universe before, that is altering our physiological makeup as human beings, and it's changing our carbon-based, denser bodies into more of a higher silicon crystalline-based type of physiological, biological type of being. It's kind of like the human and the Elohim merging. At the same time, they're clearing out all the negative gray, negative reptilian, Anunnaki kind of energies that have screwed with us as a human race and are freeing us up and helping us regain our sovereignty, giving back our freedoms and things that the cabal, the power elite, plan to totally take from us. They were already, most of our freedoms were gone, and if it wasn't for intervention that's been going on, and I think, as my book describes, very, very soon, we're going to see mass open landings of the light ships coming down all over the planet. Some of them maybe will be hovering over the planet, but this was always the destiny of this planet. The power elite wanted to put a spin on it and try to say we're being invaded because, you know, we got to have an enemy to keep the war machine going. But I think after the bases got taken out, their goose is cooked, basically. They have nowhere to run. Yeah, they can run, but they can't hide now.
Yeah.
And so I really believe we're going to see, for the first time in human history, a massive accountability. And as the masters say, we can forgive them, but we can't let them run ripshod over us any longer, whether it be the toxic, deadly vaccines that they've tried to push on us or suppressing technologies that would energy emancipate us, cures for cancer. I mean, there's thousands of things that are available, but we're not allowed to make medical claims because if you see, all we can see is theoretical, okay, coincidence. But there's a huge number of solutions to all of our problems. One of the biggest scams that the power elite have laid on us is that we're overpopulated, and there's a limitation on the resource. So the truth is, there's always been a massive amount of resources. The power elite wanted it for themselves and wanted to make us be slaves and paupers to them. That was their goal.
So I want to ask you, you know, with because you said overpopulation is not the issue, I thought one of the things that the aliens were trying to tell us that we were too overpopulated, we were going to end up just destroying ourselves.
No, they were trying to tell us that the way we were operating on this planet was basically insane and criminal toward Mother Earth. It's never been technology, but the wrong kind of technology and the misuse of power for all the wrong reasons has created the pain for Mother Earth because she is a living entity. But on many worlds, there are far more populated on Earth, and they're in total harmony with nature, no problem, because we have also a lot of freedom to go to many other worlds. The Federation of Light is beginning to lift the planetary quarantine right now, and I think it could be as early, I don't know when, but it's estimated possibly as early as this coming year, we may have open contact. It's interesting that David Wilcox, who is the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, who has interviewed a number of black op covert agents just like I have also.
Uh-huh.
And long before there was Project Camelot on the Internet, back in the 80s and late 70s and into the early 90s, I was meeting 200 to 300 of these former black op covert agents who broke national security to share stories with me about all kinds of interesting things and how, but David Wilcox, when he interviewed Mr. X, as he was called, in the early 50s, they said 2012 would be the year that open contact would happen. But they wanted to put a spin on it and make it sound like an invasion to keep us all in fear, but fear stands for false evidence appearing real. So, the cabal only survives on fear, surprise, and stealth. Once you take away all of those, they're a house of cards and they collapse.
And that's, cabal is the motherships that are surrounding Earth right now?
No. The cabal is the Illuminati.
Oh, okay.
The industrial-military complex that President Eisenhower warned us about.
Okay, sorry, I'm taking notes here. I'm trying to get it all down. Now, you were talking about, the grays and the reptilians were more negative. What, I don't want to say your people, but, you know, where you, I guess, hail from, what type, I guess, species, or what is your people's name called?
There are many of us, even though we might have come from certain systems, and I have a lot of strong connection with Sirius and Orion, but also Arcturus is a very key galactic port of call for culture. Arcturus is like a gigantic showcase world system for the Federation and for sharing culture for other worlds. And it's one of the most wonderful it's like a gigantic, I guess we could say like an amusement park for an adult kind of amusement park, but a very high temp kind of very evolved spiritual place where all the culture and art and everything and anything you can imagine is presented through Arcturus. And they also have some great light clubs. I mean, you talk about nightclubs. Well, they have light clubs.
Light clubs.
Really, yeah.
What is a light club?
Odds and eat etheric food, and it's incredible. I mean, they have some of the greatest parties you can imagine going on those levels. And I remember, that's why I feel very deprived. I was born without the cosmic amnesia veils in my mind. And, you know, it's been a really difficult thing being on this planet. I've been here many times in Earth embodiment. This time it was a lot to remember. And so when I started having contact, I would be able to tell people, well, this isn't just a theory. These experiences are verifying the memories that I carried with me. And I was also, I remember being discussing divine intervention happening.
Okay.
When did you start remembering or realizing that this was the path that you had come down? How old were you when you...
I was literally, from the time I was born, as far back as I can remember in this life, I knew that I remember choosing my Earth Mother, leaving my what I call my higher light body in storage, and literally beaming into my mother's womb. I actually had a few years of kind of amnesia because I was kind of psychologically resisting being here, even though I knew I had to be here. The physiological resistance was the comparison of a more paradise world that I remember being on. And then, but the experience at 6 years of age of being taken aboard the ship when I fell off the pier, being back with beings that I remember saying goodbye to 6 years before now. So until that moment, being back with beings who really loved me, cared for me in a way that often in Earth dysfunctional families is a little, it's a little imbalanced on this planet often. But I knew from the time I was born I was going to publish a book. I was going to be preparing humanity. Hence, I knew the title. And so as time went on, other things began to happen that verified the reality for me continuously, that they were intervening and protecting and helping me as I went along. And then I met other contactees and channels who shared similar stories and knew some of the same beings, hung out with them on a higher level.
All right. Now, this may be too personal, but were your parents aware of this? I mean, what did where do your parents think you came from?
Well, my parents, first of all, were a little more enlightened than a lot of parents in the sense that they were followers of the famous channel Edgar Cayce. My father was a professional stage hypnotist and found out that Edgar Cayce was actually activated by hypnotists. Well, he learned to induce a state that allowed him to go into this altered state and do these channelings. That's why he was called the Sleeping Prophet. But as a child, I was very quiet, and I didn't really tell him until many years later. I just kind of, about my feelings, and I just had to one day. But it wasn't really until recently that my mother, I hadn't seen her for quite a few years because of circumstance, she read my book for the first time, and I think that sometimes, I mean, she was quite evolved compared to, but I think there's a difference between Earth metaphysics and what I call galactic metaphysics. So she had some difficulty understanding what I'm aware of, and I didn't really share much of this when I was a child. I just kind of came from more of an earthly metaphysical point of view, and they allowed me to be a little unique as it was. So I give them a lot of credit for having put up with me. I was constantly getting into problems in school in the sense that I would challenge the teachers because I felt a lot of what they were teaching was just a bunch of false, bad science, false theories, and I ended up in the principal's office, so I learned to shut up about that. In that sense, I was getting into problems, but I always knew I had a desk, so it wasn't so recently that my mother had a chance to read this in my book, and she just doesn't really, I think, I don't know that say that whether she fully believes it. It's kind of like she's glad that I'm aware of what I'm aware of.
But, yeah.
Everybody has their beliefs, and we have a right to believe what we want to, but it's real to me.
All right. If you would hold on just a minute, Michael, we are going to take a really short break for the bottom of the hour. Michael Elejon, he is the... am I saying your last name right?
Elejon.
Elejon. His book is Prepare for the Landings. Are you ready? When we come back, we're going to talk about the mothership's landing. You're listening to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX. We'll be right back.
down at first dawn's light.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 6:32, 58 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. Our guest today is Mr. Michael Elejean. He is the author of Prepare for the Landings, Are You Ready? And prepareforthelandings.com. He is also a host of his own internet radio show, Cosmic Connection. Michael, are you still with us?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. We were talking before the break about, you said that, well, prepare for the landings. So when are the motherships supposed to come down?
Well, that's a good question. It's anybody's guess in a sense, because even in the biblical census, no one knows the exact our time of the day. And I believe that from my understanding of what's happening on Earth right now, around Earth, is that we're actually going through a whole dimensional shift. Some people call it, and I believe it's true, a spiritual ascension. The planet, a planetary ascension is going on, where our planet's being pulled into a higher vibratory area of space. At the same time, it's my perception we're entering actually a new timeline. Another timeline has been laid over the old timeline, and I believe that instead of only a third of humanity surviving through this change that originally, say, 5 to 10 years ago, I really believe, again, from the end of last year, beginning of this year to this time, that we are actually in another timeline that now a good percentage of humanity, like minimum of two-thirds to three-quarters, maybe even 99%, could survive this change without even having to go through so much trauma. So the original aspect of evacuation intervention was considered a little bit on the Earth level more of an emergency kind of sense to survive, to allow a good portion of humanity who was vibrationally attuned at the higher level to survive. Well, now I see as people are waking up and reclaiming their spiritual power, it's also paralleling the planetary ascension going on, and I believe what's going to happen is this is also going, possibly as early as this coming year, could result in a mass open landings, a disclosure, and a lot of things happening that many have been waiting to occur. So I'm very excited about the prognosis for, you know, what is coming up, rather than all the gloom and doom prophecies, predictions that are so prevalent in for a number of years on the internet, and people have been thinking, I think, because of this new timeline, it's going to change everything. So, but in the book, I clearly describe that we're not just going to have a one-time deal where they're going to come down and that's it. They're planning a series of waves in which they're going to take people according to how ready people are. There are a few million, I think, that really are ready. They've had enough of the old suffering and misery and school of hard knocks.
Uh-huh.
And I think that this is going to then, like a 100th monkey effect, like a chain reaction, help everyone else get ready. I think this whole Occupy movement and the end of the cabal's reign is the catalyst of the higher forces are waiting to occur, which gives them mandated authority because they can't force help down our throats. We have to call on them. We have to show action that shows responsibility. Well, we're doing that on a mass level now, and that's giving them the signal that we are truly ready to become a member of the Federation rather than being a karmic training school where souls struggle to survive. And also, it's the end of the imbalance forces who have been manipulating this planet.
So you think, like, the Occupy Wall Street stuff is kind of calling the mothership saying we're ready?
Yeah, in fact, I'm told that one of these days, very soon, they're going to be coming down openly and kind of giving cosmic solidarity to the movement. You know, I mean, I think there were some movies that actually came out, like The Matrix and V for Vendetta, that were kind of encoded to get everybody that kind of realization that we have to take some action in a very peaceful but empowered way. It was a big nightmare for the cabal when it happened, but it kind of made everybody aware, kind of like a subliminal message to us, take action, rise up, and make it really clear, and don't accept the old way any longer.
Now, how do you keep in contact with, you know, your ship or your people? Do they give you messages? Do they tell you what to do?
There may be different groups, commands, and fleets that are communicating with different channels and contacting, but it's the same group, the Federation of Light, and because we're all getting very similar things. Consensus, like about the bases being taken out, and that information came through from a lot of sources very quickly, individually and simultaneously, is a good example, and a lot of other stuff happening. There's also evidence that a new economic system is on the horizon, already in place, waiting for the corrupt Federal Reserve System kicked to the side, the elitist being thrown to the side so that the people finally can have some say and not be enslaved and subjects to a bunch of corrupt people who wanted to rule the world under a fascist world police state.
I know earlier you said that the earthquakes under Virginia, which we felt here quite well, but what about the one in Oklahoma over the weekend?
That was another base being taken out. They've taken out the bigger ones first, and then they're taking out smaller ones. I was told that 50 years ago, back in the early 50s, when they first started building these bases, the Federation Light warned them that one day, after they built all of them, that they wouldn't be successful. That this would be, they thought they were going to, the Power League would go down there and keep any responsibility, but they said, no, you're not. A few years ago, they warned them again. And then on August 20, 21st, hours before they took action, they broadcast to every person in the base. Basically, there's a lot of people in the Illuminati cabal. They were just there because they were blackmailed to be there.
Uh-huh.
And according to my sources, they took they broadcast and said to them, look, if you will join us, we will help you eradicate your karma if you work for the people of Earth and for the planet. And so about a third of the members, there was about 20,000 people in the base, from what I hear, they took about a third of them got beamed up immediately. So they become what I call white ops now, working in, and they all, some of the people already on the outer Earth that have already, joined, became whistleblowers, they are working, being part of the Anonymous group and the Occupy movement also to get help. Well, anyway, then that left another two-thirds, and according to my sources, half of that two-thirds, they could rehabilitate. But the other half was so evil because of satanic stuff, all the stuff they were involved in, that they have to be recycled to the Godhead because they are just too evil and too corrupt to stay on in this level of reality any longer.
So they have physical bodies. I'm just trying to get my head around this. They've got physical bodies like us, but spiritually or mentally, they are not us.
Well, the Federation, the Elohim, have what I will call physical immortal bodies. They're higher light bodies. They're physical. I met a few of them incognito on Earth, walking around, but it's a higher density. You go out and touch them, but we call that a little more etheric. They're of a higher density. I remember leaving mine in stories on this kind of white slab with a crystal container over it, and all of us volunteers did the same thing. When we left that body, we beamed down. Yet at night, while we're physically sleeping, we can be on board the ship, involved in council meetings, using that other body.
Really?
Between the past and now, about the evacuation phases, for the 2 or 3 weeks that we're going to be taken up. Well, we're about 2 or 3 weeks away from Earth. It'll be like months or years up there. We won't have loss of memory. We will be reactivated with our abilities and powers, go through rejuvenation chamber, a lot of things that will be made available, then come back, prepare the Earth for the other waves.
Okay. I'm just having kind of a, I can't, I'm just so stuck in, the fact that there's, I can't get past that they don't have physical bodies, I guess my problem.
They have a physical body, but it's of a higher density. They operate mostly out of the higher dimensions.
To me, then they're not here. If I can't see them and I can't touch them, then to me, that's not a body.
I just said, okay, I guess let me try to explain a little bit more. I mentioned it, but I'll say it again. I've met a few of them walking incognito on Earth.
Okay.
In fact, Bob Dean, who was part of NATO, he had a cosmic top secret clearance, he said that one of the things that the military was very concerned about in their paranoia was that they're so human appearing they could walk the halls of the Pentagon and nobody would know the difference. Okay? That is when they choose to come down. But normally they hang out on a higher dimension. They're physical on the higher dimension, but their bodies are of a more crystalline nature, just like our bodies are starting to evolve from carbon-based into a higher crystalline silicon-type nature that is will allow us to live longer, feel more joy, be more in a higher state of consciousness. So that's the only difference, is that they've been living in a state close to divine creation, not breaking the laws that the draconians have been, the power elite have been pushing upon us. And so they're now going to give humanity, that's now showing some maturity and responsibility, some opportunities, share some things with this planet, instead of keep, you know, allowing the planet to evolve very quickly rather than being subjugated and held back.
Okay. Okay. All right. I get it now. I just, I don't know. I didn't quite get the concept at first. But.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you mention outer Earth? You said they were in the outer Earth?
No, I used the term for some whistleblowers prior to the bases being taken out that had become whistleblowers who broke away from the cabal, black ops, covert agencies. And these were the ones that tried to take me out a number of times because I'm exposing the shenanigans of the power elite, the Illuminati, the industrial-military complex. But because of protection, they helped and intervene. Now, in 79, I did have a very horrifying, initially horrifying experience of being hit with a what I call a psychotronic beam.
Really?
And I fell unconscious. I knew I was dying. I knew the life force was being taken out of my body. But then I woke up on the ship. They had physically taken my body back on board. They were putting a life force back into me. I share this quite in depth in the book. I connect with a being named Corton, who is a communication specialist in the Ashtar Command, the Federation of Light. I was then informed that a couple things were about to happen, is that from now on, unlike the old karmic readings and channelings I used to do in a trance state, now on I would be doing sessions for other volunteers like myself. And that's where the Star People list is very important, which I saw 2 months later in a publication called the East-West Journal. And those who are often drawn to these realities, usually I find people like this very much connected. And when I do these 90-minute sessions, it's kind of interesting because for the, you know, the, since 1979, I'm fascinated because when they're speaking through me, they also have an energy beam on me from the Merkabal that's in a higher dimension, and they're downloading what it's called these higher light encodements, which is part of the Elohim consciousness technology.
Uh-huh.
People play back the recordings. It helps to accelerate your spiritual progress, activate your DNA RNA. And the people tell me all the time. They hear more each time they play it back. They're going through these transformations. They're experiencing a whole shift in their consciousness so that things that seem so limited for them are negative, become much more expanded. They feel more beauty. They feel more hope for the future based upon this transformation that they're going through. And to me, I look at the results of that. I'm very appreciative that I have been trained in this way to do this. But those who would like to know a little more about that, they can, again, check through the website. There's some phone numbers available. They can call and can set up some appointments if they were interested in experiencing this personal, you know, experience. And so it's quite a transformational experience.
Now, Michael, I got to ask, like, when, because you said you can now do other volunteers like yourself, how do you recognize or seek out, you know, these people? Do they come to you? Do they recognize you? You know,
I don't really seek anybody out. Except that the higher beings are constantly overshadowing. They're sending down energy beams to connect with people, connect people together. I believe in a biblical sense it was called the wheat was separate from the chaff, and that the chosen ones are not of any particular belief. It's those who choose to be chosen. That is, you choose things that are life-enhancing. You choose the things that uplift the planet, that make life better. That, to me, you choose to choose the things that are going to help planet, and the people who are drawn who are humanitarians, who are drawn, who have a feeling they're here for a purpose, you know, something bigger than themselves. Those are the people I usually connect with through my work at a time when they're really trying to get some insight. And so my job as a channel is to help them plug into their mission and help them fulfill that mission so that one day when we all stand before the councils once more looking back, we won't have any regrets about what we could have, should have done when we had that opportunity. I have a great faith and optimism about the future because of my experiences and meeting others who've had similar experiences and how they're getting ready to make this big move. And so hence, prepare for the landings is a collective view. And the readings I do, the personal transformational channel readings, give you a personal understanding of your part in the grand scheme of things.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. You talk fast and then you stop. You catch me off guard. I'm sorry.
I take a little breather and give you a chance to.
Yeah, I just didn't know when it's going to happen.
Oh.
I got confused. What is your other websites? I know you have a couple.
Well, prepareforthelandings.com is about the book and some DVDs, and channelforthemasters.com is about my background, how I was trained in the Edgar Cayce method of channeling. It also shows images of some of the beings that I channel and have had contact with in the years past. And so there's a lot of good reference material. The book is wonderful because not only for me, waiting all these decades to finally get it published, and, you know, I knew I would not be able to publish the book until a few years before the events actually happened.
Okay, so that was kind of a timeline, you know, that you knew too.
Yes.
That, okay, it's published, it's going to happen anytime.
Well, I knew it was going to happen within a few years. It was about 2-3 years ago when I actually published it, and then in 2010 I kind of updated a little bit with a few new bits, piece of information to give it a little more relevant. Now, I do want to share something with your audience.
Uh-huh.
Of all the confirmations I have been receiving regarding the book, I mean, before I was on actually on the Coast to Coast AM show back in January 19th, and that was kind of an interesting show because prior to the show, I'd gotten lots of letters and emails of people who had got confirmations from their ET contacts and also their inner guidance, that they got really strong guidance since the book was right on. Well, interesting, a person who heard that show, a guy named Lance Campbell, a trucker, who since 2010, as he's been driving his rig along the highways, a group of light beings have been coming down in their 1,000-foot, this is how big the ship would get, right over his truck.
Wow.
Ship, and he could see them waving at him through the window sometimes, okay? And he started asking them questions to get some yes or no answers. First, he asked things he could verify, and the ship would go right and left for no, or up and down for yes.
And oh, so they could hear him, I guess they were...
He telepathically asked them, and they would respond. And he did that with things he could verify. Well, then, he started asking them questions, and that had been my... I feel that George Norrie's a really nice guy. The problem is, in a lot of shows,
uh-huh.
I Coast to Coast show, but a lot of radio, TV, through the years, there's a lot of the people in the UFO community, it's my opinion, and this is what Ashtar, this being I'm in communication with, told me, that unfortunately, not all of them, but a vast majority of the so-called experts who call themselves professional UFO investigators, like some big whatever, most of them are really right out of the black-up covert agencies pretending to be civilian
really?
UFO investigators as if it's some big mystery. And Ashtar told me this. Well, this guy started asking them to give him yes or no answers should he believe certain guests that were on the show. And as I said, George, he's a pretty nice guy. It's just that whoever interviews people from the UFO community, often it's hard to sometimes decipher from a mundane perspective. Is this person really being sincere? You know, are they coming on? So he said that when he asked the question, usually he got a no answer, that no, they're not really coming off with a full, you know, still a whole full deck. And I thought to myself, that's something like getting from the cosmic horse's mouth. Well, when he asked about, he said the few times he ever got a yes answer was me and a guy named James Gillian and a couple others. And he said on the night of January 19th, the ship's hovering right over his truck. He's driving along the highway. He asked, should I believe him? Is this book for real? Is this for real? The ship went up and down very vigorously. And I thought to myself, nothing like getting a good cosmic kosher stamp of approval. Anyway.
I wonder what kind of, what would we get, Lola?
Probably just drop off the...
Are we black
off
ops?
The radar, you know.
Well, I think they look at what they feel is the sincerity. You know, we all have a right to our opinions, but when you can feel somebody being sincere,
uh-huh.
That's what they're looking at. I mean, we make mistakes, but we learn from those things. Air Forces don't judge us in a harsh way. They're looking into our heart. They're seeing what we really... If we had a chance, if we were given the opportunity... how would we use that opportunity? And that's what they're kind of defining versus, you know, society often be racist and judges according to some mundane perspectives. But beings who truly are coming from love and understanding, they have a lot of patience. And they had to have for all these eons of time. But the human-appearing ones were the ones that first genetically seeded the Earth human race here millions of years ago have been watching over. The problem is that the group called the Draconians, which included the Greys and negative reptilians, and Anunnaki came here and messed up the entire process. Now there's a huge cleansing going on.
Now, how do you know how do your people deal with the you know the Greys and the reptilians? Like because they're coming here like abducting people and you know causing terror and you know all this. How Do they battle, like, up in the space?
Well, here's the interesting thing. If you have a chance like I have to look through night vision goggles, and by the way, I would highly recommend go to UFOSkyWatch.com. We just recently obtained a pair of night vision goggles, and Bill Alex, which is a great person to interview on your show, as well as Aurora Light, who's the co-author of the book, of my book, Prepare for the Landings, he could actually build a UFO. He has that ability. He just doesn't have the R&D that the Black Ops. But setting up a system where you can do, you're going to do webinars, webcam things where anyone is looking through that goggle. He's in Phoenix, Arizona, and I happen to be in Seattle. I'm going on this book tour and stuff. And he's going to have hooked up so anywhere on the planet, from the comfort of your living room, you'll be able to watch whatever, whoever's looking at something through those goggles, which you can see a lot of things you can't see with the visible eye, ships flying around. He's actually seen a few battles between the Federation Light and some of the renegades, the last few renegades that exist.
All right.
Stuff. So if you go to UFOSkyWatch.com, supposedly this month, he's planning to get it set up a couple times a week. You'll be able to watch all of this stuff going on that you can't see with your visible eye. And it's quite phenomenal when you see stuff. Skeptics become believers because they can see stuff flying, doing angles and turns that aircraft can't do.
Now, would it be, I guess, good for us to get these goggles, like, to watch the motherships come, or do you think there'll be more everybody's going to see?
Well, they're worth about $4,000 a piece because they're, you know, they're considered munitions in the
military. But the experience you're talking about is priceless.
You can't take them out of the country. But for that reason, the fact that somebody who has one can make it available for everyone else to view what they're looking at.
Yeah.
Goggles. And the people who are in the Phoenix area will be able to go there, and he'll probably let other people look through them also. But he'll have a computer screen right there where people on a personal one-to-one basis can look at what he's looking at. But the fact that now we have the Internet, now anybody anywhere in the world can see what one person is seeing through the goggles.
Now, are they going to? Are you going to be, I guess, privy to the information, like when they come, or are you going to be?
Well, this is going to happen all over the planet. I mean, I'm expecting millions of ships, as they've told me and told other channels and contactees, and this is coming in really strong. They're going to be coming down in mass. Every eye is going to behold it, and they're going to land everywhere. They're just waiting to enough people awaken a little more. And I was told it was a 70% percentage, and we're now about 69%, going on 70% of humanity that's ready, open, and willing to be open to this experience. That's what they were waiting for. They had to wait to get a lot of the fear and manipulation out of the way. And I think, in fact, one of the reasons that what confirms to me that we're close to this happening is all these negative alien invasion movies that came out this summer was a last-ditch attempt by the power elite through movies to try to put people in fear.
Now, what about 2012? Like, do you think that maybe that could be a good day that this might start, or do you think it's sooner?
What date are you saying?
December 21st, 2012.
Oh, well, I think from now on it's going to start accelerating from October 28th coming up in a few days to 11-11-11, which a lot of people are going to be meditating and tuning in. I think this is the time to really visualize what you want to exist upon the planet. This is going to be a powerful time. And from 11-11-11 on to the end of next year, I think this is going to be an exciting time for those of us of the light. Now, for the cabal, this is going to be we're going to be their worst nightmare.
That's really interesting. Maybe the December 21st is when it's over, and that's why it's the new...
Your guess is as good as mine in this sense, but I feel it's very imminent, and more imminent than any time in my life. I got my book published. I knew it would only be published within a few years before the event would happen. And we're getting really close to it right now. So
watch the skies.
A lot of people.
Michael, we are out of time. We got to let you off. Thank you very much. It was a very interesting story. If you are still around to write another one, you know, I don't know if they're taking you with them or if you're sticking around.
Mm-hmm. Well... there's a lot of interesting things happen. There's also another person I'm connected with, Laura Legere. She wrote a book called It's Not Weird Anymore. Might find her an interesting guest to interview. I think she has a lot of insights about things, too, that people would find fascinating. Go to itsnotweirdanymore.com, and you might find her as an interesting guest.
It's not weird anymore.
Uh-huh. It isn't weird anymore.
Oh, it isn't. Okay.
She's writing it down.
It's not weirdanymore.com. But check out prepareforthelandings.com for about the book. And Aurora Light is a great, she's my co-author, and she has a lot of insights about health as well, a lot of interesting stuff. And Bill Alec has done a lot of insight research as well. And then channelforthemasters.com is about my background and how I was trained as a channel through the Edgar Cayce method of channeling and about my transformational channel readings.
Now, if one of our listeners wants to get up with you, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, they go to the website. There's some phone numbers there that you can call, and you can connect and be able to find out more about the work. We have a lot of a lot of good information there for people to check out, and also at vortexnetworknews.com.
Okay,
we have a show that airs every Sunday.
Cosmic Connection.
Like archives all the shows, which is Cosmic Connection is part of the VNN network.
Okay. Thank you very much. We are out of time. Michael Elejon, prepare for the landings. Are you ready? Prepareforthelandings.com. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
And that's our quota for UFO stuff.
You know, everything that he was saying, all you had to do was substitute God. You know, somebody is going to judge us. Did we do what we thought was right, and did we follow through with it? I mean, it's the same as
yeah.
But I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to ask him if he believed in God and stuff.
There. Well, he mentioned a few times biblical, but I don't know. He talked really fast. It was hard to keep up with everything.
I know. He must think I'm a big dumb bunny, but I didn't get it. I usually don't have that hard of a time, but I'm not sure really what he was talking about. The Illuminati to me is the subject of one of Dan Brown's books. I mean, that's the extent of my knowledge of any of that.
I think the truth is that you're really government black ops and you're trying to foil this whole thing.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, damn, you found me out.
That's my thoughts. Next week.
Yeah, to hell with the fracking fluid. That has nothing to do with the earthquake.
Who cares if we can light our tap water on fire out of
really,
the sink?
Really, really.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Next week's guest is Lorna Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. How do you say that?
Byrne.
Is it Byrne? She's from Ireland.
Cool.
You're going to love her.
Oh,
her book is called Angels in My Hair. And she's going to be talking about
angels in her hair.
Contacting the other side, and she is an Irish mystic. So it should be interesting.
Yes,
it's one
it
that
should.
Nick passed it along to us. So
yeah. Thank you, Nick. Yeah, that should be
fun.
Good.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Until next week, everybody. We love you. Stick around. Don't be afraid. Only believe.